California faces a school library crisis due to the lack of a designated state funding source, leading to limited books, fewer librarians, and many schools without functioning libraries. Access Books Bay Area aims to address this issue by providing high-quality, culturally relevant books and transforming school library spaces. Their goal is to improve literacy for K-8 students in low-income areas, creating inviting environments that foster a love of reading. You can help this effort to bridge the literacy gap by donating and finding out more at accessbooksbayarea.org.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? It is a Sunday afternoon, and we are getting ready for the Sharks to take on the Kings. Sorry about my voice. I'm dealing with a little bit of a head cold. But to talk about everything going on with the San Jose Sharks, let's now bring in Curtis Pashelka, who covers the Sharks for Bay Area News Group. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing all right, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm working on a little cold, so I apologize for not sounding like my best self right now. But so looking back at last night's game against New York, I mean, the Sharks are coming off two wins against good teams and or decent teams. I mean, I know Boston's down, but they should be better than their record, I'll argue. And, you know, a win over Toronto, even a shootout and in a crazy game, that was good. But it all disappeared early on against the Rangers. And the Rangers, really, from the get-go, they had the, you know, they were off on the front foot. Sharks were on their heels. Power play opportunity early for New York. And, you know, just why do you think the Sharks can have it so much in two games against two other good teams and then one team just not at all? Is it the matchup, or is that just indicative of how, and I don't know if this is the right term, but just how immature they are as a team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more the latter, really. Ron Warsawski mentioned after the game that the young players looked like young players last night, and that I think that includes everybody, you know, even your top line guys with Macklin, Celebrini and Will Smith obviously didn't have their best nights either. So I mean, I think that's going to happen from time to time, especially when you got a lot of young guys in the lineup getting their feet wet, and like you mentioned, against a very desperate Rangers team that's right in the mix of a playoff chase right now. So, you know, everybody after the game was saying, you know, they hope they learn from this experience. And, you know, Ryan Warsawski certainly expects more tonight again in Los Angeles. And, you know, I think a lot of guys in there want to have a bounce back night. And like I said, first period was not good at all. Just too many puck mistakes, just too many mistakes in general, just weren't working hard enough. That's the identity this team has to have. They have to really outwork teams, as much as you know, young skills they have. It really comes down to just how hard they work and compete, whether or not they're going to have success. And certainly, the first period was indicative of how they played overall, and you know, they kind of got what they deserved in a lot of sense. In one sense,
what do you make of the team since the Four Nations break? Because I feel like they have been, you know, more competitive overall. They've been in more tight contests. It hasn't been as bad as it was for a bit there. I mean, we obviously remember some of the bad performances, like that 7-3 loss to Colorado and, you know, the 5-1 loss to Washington. But overall, I feel like they've been pretty good or better. I mean, it's a relative term, obviously, but better than they were heading into the break. And obviously, there's a lot of, you know, new faces after the deadline and such. I mean, what is your 30,000-foot view on where things are right now?
Well, you're right. I mean, I think that the team has been more competitive on a nightly basis. I mean, there have been, you know, a couple of clunkers here on this homestand here. And then, you know, you look back to that road trip that began. But, you know, I mean, they played competitive hockey in certain games. And obviously they went into Winnipeg and right after the break and played a good game and, you know, went on that road trip and had a disappointing result in both Ottawa and Montreal, but then they kind of bounce back and beat Toronto in Toronto and Buffalo to sort of finish off that East Coast swing. And then they come home and, you know, last night they had an opportunity to actually finish that homestand with 4-4 record. And
yeah.
That's pretty impressive because, like you mentioned, the faces and the names that they traded at the deadline. I mean, listen, you trade your top offensive defenseman and Jake Walman and one of your leading scorers and Fabian Zetterlund, and you know, those are not easy players to replace, and you got some veterans and who left San Jose as well. And but I think the Sharks, generally speaking, have a clarity and how they need to play to have success. And you know, I think they've installed a little bit of a new system too, which kind of allows them to try to stay competitive and close in games, not give up so many grade A chances. So you got some young guys who are hungry to sort of prove themselves, and maybe some older guys too who want to show that they can still play in this league as well. So I mean, put it all together, it certainly has been awful since the Four Nations break, but you know, there's some things to be encouraged about as well.
Yeah, one of the things that I've kind of thought about is the fact that the team is still playing this hard on the other side of the deadline with so many faces for Warsawski. And I know it's a snapshot as opposed to the full 82, but that's relatively encouraging to me, is that it doesn't matter who the names and faces are, even after you trade away so many established, you know, bigger names of the team, that they're still fighting that hard. I mean, that I think on some level that tells me that, you know, Warsawski and his staff are doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, the message has sort of gotten across to those guys. And, you know, I think what the Sharks have done really well this year is they've just sort of focused on what is right in front of them. They're not thinking about too far ahead about what the team's going to look like in the off season or the big picture or things along those lines. I think they really try to focus just on day to day, night to night, just trying to get a little bit better each day. And, I think that's sort of, I don't think you can also underestimate, maybe just from my perspective, is, you know, what kind of impact Mac and Celebrini has had on this team. Just not only obviously his play on the ice, but I think the way he goes about his business, I think, has rubbed off on a lot of people. And he's probably the most competitive player the Sharks have had in a long time. And I think that rubs off on guys, the way he works, competes on a daily basis. I think that has an impact on other people on that team. And so I think he goes, some players a lot of follow him in some respects. So I think that has something to do with it. I think Ryan, Warsawski's message has resonated with a lot of players as well. And, what you get is sort of a team that is, trying to finish the season in the right way. And so they can carry a little bit of momentum going into next season, not have to necessarily start from ground zero again.
They've been better than the Blackhawks by a great deal lately, including the win over them more recently. But Sharks are 4-6-0 in their last 10. Blackhawks 1-8-1. Is that a problem? I mean, do the Sharks need to have the greatest odds for the number one pick for a season that has them now sitting at 20 wins? Or is it just, hey, play the season, see where the chips fall, and no matter what, you're probably going to walk away with a really good player?
I think it kind of depends on who you ask, maybe. Maybe if you ask the guys in the locker room, they'll tell you, yeah, we wanted to win as many games as possible. The coaching staff probably feels that same way, just want to win as much as they can. Or maybe you ask some people in the front office, they say, well, hey, Don, we got a little chance at another real special player if we get the first overall pick. But what's going to happen is what's going to happen. You can only play the games. You really can't control what the Blackhawks are doing. I think maybe some of them were watching the game the other night when they played Vegas and they had a 3-2 lead late in the third period. They take a penalty, they give up a power play goal, and a couple of minutes later they fall behind and lose by a goal. That's kind of like, maybe some Sharks people in the Sharks organization might have been frustrated looking at that, but at the same time, you know, really can't control it either. So I think from their perspective, just play it out, see how it all turns up in terms of your lottery odds. Even if they do finish with a second best or second worst record in the league, it's still a 13.5 point percentage chance of winning the lottery, not 25.5 if they're the Sharks, so if whoever finishes last. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out. Blackhawks are still 2 points ahead of the Sharks as of now. They play today. The Sharks play tonight. And if they happen to collect a few wins against these really good teams that they play down the stretch, then maybe that could benefit them too in the long run.
What do you think we're looking at for next year in terms of who's on this squad? Because obviously they have a lot of money to spend, A, in general, and then B, just to get to the floor of where they need to be because of the moves they made at the deadline. But, I mean, are you expecting to see Colin Graf on this roster from day one? Are you expecting to see You know, other players that are, you know, Mook Medulin, for instance, from day one, Yaroslav Askarov from day one. And then on the second part of that is what are you expecting in free agency? Because that's, I think, the big part of the question that Mike Greer has been relatively nebulous on. He's constantly used the phrase that he doesn't want to rush things. But, you know, they can kind of weaponize their salary cap space. They don't have to sign guys to an 8-year deal. I mean, the money's got to be spent one way or another, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's been, I think, some frustration among Sharks fans. Not everybody, of course, but just some about, you know, when is this thing really going to start to kick into high gear in terms of the, you know, getting on the other side of this rebuild. And I think this is a big offseason for the Sharks, just because of the reasons you mentioned. They do have some cap space to play with. There are going to be some roster spots available for guys, whether that's filled by, you know, internally, or if the Sharks feel they need to add some players right now to sort of give some of the younger guys a little bit more time to mature or get some seasoning in the minors or in junior or whatever it might be. We'll kind of see how it plays out. I think the way Colin Graf has sort of played here these last couple of weeks, and the growth he's shown is, and the trust he's earned with Ryan Warsawski and his staff, kind of lends me to believe that he'll start next season on the Sharks roster. Mookie Medulin has made some very impressive strides here over these last couple of weeks, especially since he's gotten some more responsibility, some more ice time. I think the Sharks have generally been pleased with how he's grown them. You know, those guys necessarily haven't arrived, you know, totally per se. I mean, he's still got to earn their way. But I think the Sharks are confident that those guys could, come into camp next year, have a good showing, and then, make the roster out of camp. Other Askarov, of course, too. I think, depending what the Sharks do in this offseason, I do think Askarov will be on the roster. I don't know if he'll necessarily be the number one, but I do think as long as he's healthy, he'll be with the Sharks next season. We'll see what other holes are filled. I don't know. The Sharks do have some restricted free agents. It's sort of a question mark as to whether, the Sharks will decide to bring those guys back or what happens there. So, just a little bit, some question marks to go, going forward here. But I think one thing is for sure that, the Sharks do want to show progress next year. They can't be in a same position where they are right now, where they're at the bottom or right near the bottom. They do want to show a little bit of progress and some growth going into for next season. And just because, you mentioned Chicago before, you want to sort of avoid that same situation here, right, where maybe guys get stuck in a rut a little bit, and maybe all of a sudden there's a bit of a not optimism, but more of a dark cloud around the team. That's something the Sharks really want to avoid and make sure this thing's going in the right direction.
Well, I guess the next question on that is how the rest of the league and potential free agents view San Jose, because the long-term picture is that free agent signings haven't been their strong point. It's been trades that have brought big names to San Jose. But once those guys get here, they never want to leave. I mean, we saw Joe Thornton come here. He wanted to stay. Brent Burns is another obvious one. Dan Boyle, Erik Karlsson, these guys come and then they sign contracts to stay here, but it's never been the big free agent signing. So the next part of that is that do Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and, some of the other young talents here with a guy like Tyler Toffoli and, the way the franchise is kind of being viewed right now as a fun place to play, does that change the perception to where guys maybe do want to come sign here?
Yeah, I think the Sharks look at it, like I think Mike Greer's talked about that before, where when you do have sort of this young nucleus of players that look like they're going to be around for a long time, maybe that could be enticing for some free agents to maybe make San Jose a place they want to play. And, but there's also a business part of it too. And, Mike Greer has talked about this in the past as well, where, as a team that's still kind of rebuilding and isn't fully established, that maybe you do have to give a player a contract that is maybe has a little bit more money maybe has an extra year attached, that kind of thing, just to sort of help sweeten the deal, because you know, yeah, when these players come available, there's going to be more than one team interested. So Sharks going to have to, if they really want a guy, they're going to have to sort of put their best foot forward to try to get that guy. Maybe that means a little bit extra money on the contract, or maybe an extra year. You know, they certainly have the cap space to play with this offseason to try to do that. But at the same time, Mike has also talked about how, you know, he's not going to go hog wild with the spending, you know, just because you don't want to sign guys to long-term contracts and then have it just not work out, and all of a sudden you're saddled with some players on deals that you're not necessarily in love with. While, you know, you look ahead a couple of years, well, you're gonna have to pay Max and Celebrini a heck of a lot more money than you're paying them now. Same with Will Smith, and I think same with William Eklund too. I mean, those three guys are gonna get paid at some point, and so Sharks just don't necessarily want to, put themselves in a situation where maybe they're paying some other guys more than they want to right at this moment too. So kind of see it all, how it all shakes out. Like I talked about earlier, it's going to be a big off season for Mike Greer and the Sharks front office to see how they can kind of get this thing moving along in the direction they want it to.
Yeah, I guess the last one I wanted to ask you about is, you know, the vibes around San Jose. Everybody talks about how they're a fun team, and, you know, we make the comparison to Chicago, and I don't want to pick on Chicago because it's not, you know, they've got one more win than the Sharks right now, and it's just a difference in how the perception is. It's guys are having fun here in San Jose. It does not appear that there's a lot of fun in Chicago being had right now. But does that vibe that's perceived as more positive in San Jose, is that enough for them to, you know, endure another year? The last thing you want to get into a situation is where these young guys like a William Eklund, like a Macklin Celebrini, like a Will Smith want to leave, right? And I think that even though that storyline's already been bandied about in Chicago with Connor Bedard, I don't know how true it is, but do you think there's any pressure on Mike Greer to feel like, you know what, I want to show these young players that I am investing in the team to make it more palatable for the short term as well as the long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say. I mean, you don't want to be back in this situation again next year and then answer those same type of questions. Well, you know, when is this, you know, like, you want to try to do what you can to support the younger players and bring in the right type of veteran players to help those guys come along, so they don't feel like they have to do it all themselves. I think that's the last thing the Sharks want, is to put everything, try to put all of it on Macklin Celebrini to make him feel like, well, he's got to be the savior and lead us out of this thing. Like,
yeah, how'd that
like
work perhaps out for Buffalo and Eichel, right?
No, I mean, you know, I mean, you look at a variety of teams that are in a rebuild and why it's gone south and why it hasn't worked out. And I think the Sharks are trying to sort of take in that information, learn those lessons, and try to avoid those same pitfalls here in San Jose. So yeah, I mean, you do want to show some growth. It is important to show the young guys that it is going in the right direction, so you can keep up sort of the positive hopeful feeling that's been going on in San Jose here, that's been kind of building here for the last year or so. And you know, that's going to be an important part of the Sharks' overall growth, is just making sure that they're going in the right direction. I kind of look at maybe the Anaheim Ducks is sort of an example of that, where they're not going to make the playoffs this year, but they've shown real growth this year.
Yeah,
I mean, from last year to now, I mean, they're basically a 500 team right now, and I think the Sharks look at it like they're pretty realistic in that. Playoffs aren't probably going to happen next year. But you know, they do want to sort of at least kind of be in the conversation when it gets to post-trade deadline, or at least not be just complete, have a fire sale again next year where, I mean, you're just selling off pieces. You maybe it's a situation you're looking at extending guys, or maybe even adding a player or two just to kind of help insulate some of these younger guys. So everybody can see how it all shakes out. I think the main point is the Sharks want to be in a position next year where they are showing some growth, and playing more meaningful games down the stretch than they are right now.
Curtis, great stuff as always, my friend. I appreciate your time. Keep up the great work, and I'll bug you again soon, all right?
Yeah, no worries, Ted. You got it.
That is Curtis Pashelko. We are out of time. Go time, 7 o'clock, pregame 6:30, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.